The Big Island is slowly bouncing back from the natural disasters of 2018. That's where HBR's Ku'uwehi Hiraishi is out in the field reporting. Good morning, Ku'uwehi.
Good morning, Catherine. How's it going over there?
Good. Where are you at today?
I am actually in Hilo, near the county building, working on gathering some of these numbers. So when I first got here, I think one of the biggest questions everyone was asking was, you know, we know the eruption displaced more than 2,000 residents and buried 700-some homes. So where are they and how are they doing? And there was really no one answer to that question. Several agencies had different numbers. So I went in to the head of recovery over at the county, Diane Lay, in the research and development department, and she kind of gave me numbers on building permits, right? We can use that. We can say 127-something residents are returning or have filed or pulled a building permit in the area. But she also said that one of the bigger movers and shakers, if you will, of the recovery effort has been the human services and nonprofit. So folks that we've heard of, like Hope Services, Catholic Charities, who really stepped up to take over case management, if you will, of these individuals. So I spoke to Paul Norman. He's the executive director over at Neighborhood Place of Puna, and they normally will deal with sort of social service type of services that will help strengthen families, and that's their focus. And they've got a staff of five folks here, a couple of outreach workers and admin fellow, and then they took on this extra responsibility of pretty much taking in all these intake forms on what the needs were for these thousands of folks that were displaced. So this is what he had to say about how difficult that was starting out.
Those first couple of weeks, it was crazy. Mm-hmm. So we had more forms coming in than we could possibly process. So we set up call centers to do just quick follow-ups and do a little further screening. And then, because a lot of people, you know, they need help on Monday, but by Wednesday, they figured it out. Yeah. So, you know, a lot of people, you know, people are resilient. I mean, the reality is most people are going to figure it out for themselves.
That's right. So a lot of what they were able to pull was how many families needed housing assistance or airfare or medical, legal counseling, and those type of numbers at its peak, which was mid-July of last year. They took in at least, they assessed that there was at least 1,300 individuals or needs in that area, and that could be several needs for one family. You know, one family needs medical and legal counseling as well as housing. So that was something that they've been tracking. And from that, about half of those needs have been met, either through sort of referring them to other social services or resources in the area, or self-resolve. So people who actually didn't want to wait on any money coming in or any help from any particular agency and just decided to figure it out themselves. So Paul Norman had said that those self-resolved folks were the individuals that they recently contacted to check in to see, you know, a year later, are you guys still doing all right? And this is what he found.
Most of them were fine. But a few of them are like, oh, no, I'm still sleeping on so-and-so's couch, or I'm camping in my car or whatever. So then we took those people and we put them back as active. Okay. And we are tracking that. And our hope is that when the county implements the long-term disaster case management program, we will actually hand that data off to the case management folks, who will be able to work more extensively with the individuals, get a better sense of what resources they have, and try and match them with resources that are available in the community to a much deeper level.
Right. So that deeper dive is really what's needed to figure out exactly where everyone is. And according to the county and FEMA, they were able to secure funding for this sort of long-term disaster case management And that should be in place before the end of the year.
But still, the numbers, right. 1,300, it's like, wow.
Right, right. And those were, you know, it's hard because those weren't the only folks. I went out with one of the outreach workers at the time last year from Neighborhood Place of Pune. And you're going into all the shelters with your clipboard and nobody wants to talk to you. Mm-hmm. So the, you know, the accuracy of what's taken in is really, that's another issue. And whether or not we've really gone out and found everyone is something that I think will go into the responsibilities of this new entity that's kind of cropping up.
Have you had a chance to reach out to FEMA?
I did. So I am actually going to get on the phone with them later. But see, their numbers, they're the other database. So essentially what's going to happen, according to the county, is once this new long-term case management program is in place, they'll take the FEMA database of information for all the applicants and those who were awarded money, and then meld them with what the nonprofits have, and all the different nonprofits actually have taken in over the course of this past year, different cases. It's not all in one area, so that's another issue. But hopefully get this all in one spot so that we can have an accurate picture of where everyone is.
Yeah, I recall talking to them last year, and they were trying to figure out, you know, the folks at HAIMA, Tom Travis and Dr. Mm-hmm. Amont at FEMA, you know, how to transition over. And they were, there was going to be an ask for additional personnel just because of the sheer numbers. It's a lot of work.
Exactly. And it's prolonged work. And in speaking with the county, they were saying, you know, we're good at disaster response if it's a flood where it's an in and out done and, you know, minor recovery. But the prolonged nature of this eruption, more than 3 months and active sort of not knowing where the lava was going to move and always having to be on alert was something that really the county realized that it's got limited capacity to respond in that respect. So they've really praised the social service sector for stepping in. And in talking to Norman, Paul Norman, the head of the Neighborhood Place of Pune, you know, he said they do it. They did massive overtime, and, you know, it took them a lot of extra hours during this past year to keep up with everything on top of their normal workload. But in the end, for him, he says they deal with folks who fall through the cracks in Pune on a daily basis. So if they can help ensure and prevent any of these folks to fall through the crack on account of the eruption, it's worth their time.
And you had a chance to talk to Mayor Kim, correct?
Yes, yes. So Mayor Kim, very adamant about reopening the roads and sort of allowing folks whose homes are still standing to return to those homes and farms, sort of in upper Kapoho, lower Pune. But his sense of appreciation for the nonprofits was also communicated. But in terms of working with FEMA, he's also said that FEMA has been praising the Big Island and just the community of this sort of Ohana style of recovery that's really unique, I guess, to Hawaii, that they haven't seen, that FEMA hasn't seen
yes.
much any other places. Yeah,
absolutely, the resiliency. But thank you so much, Kuvehi.
Thanks, Catherine. Aloha.
We have been talking about the recovery effort and the anniversary of the natural disasters of 2018 with Hawaii native Kuvehi Hiraishi.